Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today it's all about quarterbacking, good quarterbacking. Well, some bad, because Kirk Cousins is terrible, of course. But I want to start with the Bengals-Cardinals game where Carson Palmer really played well. He got, like, he got his revenge. The Cardinals beat the Cincinnati Bengals 31-28, and it was a back-and-forth game. The Cardinals will score, the Bengals will score, the Cardinals will score, the Bengals will score, the Bengals will score, the Cardinals will score. The Cardinals broke out to a 31-21 lead in the fourth quarter, but then the Cincinnati Bengals got a long punt return and got into Phoenix territory, Arizona territory, and they scored to make it 31-28. Then they had the final drive. I thought they butchered the final drive. They had an opportunity to score, and I didn't think Andy Dalton did a good job of time management, but they settled for a field goal. And there was still 57 seconds left. Carson Palmer, three passes down the field, no timeout, 57 seconds, bam, 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 touchdown. Cardinals win 34-31, and the Cardinals are still trying to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And the NFC, Carson Palmer was fantastic. He had great help. You know, Chris Johnson ran the ball well. He threw for 317 yards. Dalton was 315 and two TDs. But J.J. Nelson was great. Four catches, touchdown. He was what the doctor ordered. And the Cardinals win. And the Cardinals are sitting pretty right now in the NFC. In the NFC West, they beat the Seahawks last week in Seattle, that won the division, basically. And I think they're sitting pretty where they're at, you know, at 8-2. They got a three-game lead, plus they beat the Seahawks. That was a swing game. As far as Cincinnati, it's interesting because they are in comfortable shape in the AFC North. Pittsburgh has a very difficult schedule, but if the Bengals lose another game and then they play Pittsburgh, the noose gets tight because nobody knows what Dalton and A.J. Green can do under pressure. Nobody does. We don't know who they are yet until the postseason comes. Can they win a game? Can they make a move in the postseason? Marvin Lewis has not ever won a game in the postseason. So the jury's still out on the Cincinnati Bengals, who's very talented. Defensively, they're talented. The secondary solid. They got a good pass rush, but they can't seem to put it all together for some reason. So I'm curious about that. The other game, Cowboy fans, rejoice. Romo's back. You won the game. 24-14. He was a little rusty, but he was Romo. And when you have that kind of leadership back after losing seven games as a quarterback, it energized the coach. It energized the sideline. You can see the sideline. It energized the fan base. Got rid of the comments. And you're thinking, there's hope. You know, the AFC East is bad. I'm going to get to Philadelphia in a minute. The AFC East is just bad. And the Giants have to beat the Washington Redskins. Are they going to beat the Washington Redskins? You have to go to Washington. Washington's up and down. Washington plays pretty good at home. And they usually play lousy on the road like they did yesterday. So the Cowboys are sitting pretty if they keep winning. And they won 24-14 against the Dolphins. The Dolphins are pretty much a sieve. If you're a competent team, you can beat them. The Eagles played incompetent, and that's why they lost. Well, Adam McClain got a touchdown interception. Terrence Williams got a 31-yard touchdown pass. When he caught that touchdown pass to make it 14-0, Cowboy fans probably exhaled. Glory be. We are back, and Romo's back. And then they ended up tying the score, but then Dez Bryant gets a 60-yard touchdown pass from Romo. I bet he's happy. And then Bailey hits the field goal in that game. The defense was solid. The defense, and then McFadden Oh my gosh. Because Romo had good numbers, 227 yards passing, two touchdowns. Darren McFadden had 129 yards rushing. I don't know if he's up and down, but maybe Romo energizes him, and then they're dangerous if they have a running game. I would be highly concerned if you see them with a running game. Watch out. But then you also – what happens here is the Atlanta Falcons lost at home. I can't call Matty Ice no more. I don't know what I'm going to call him. Matt Ryan now. Throwing a bad pick when they're up 21-14 to tie the game, losing to a 40, losing to Hasselbeck. That was just a bad, 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 bad loss. Then Carolina destroys Washington 44-16. Cam Newton has five touchdown passes, and Carolina is undefeated at 10-0, the best record in the league. You know, they're probably going to get home field advantage. Their defense is solid with Luke Kuechly and their corner, who's a superior corner, Norman. And they play, and they pass rushes. They're a very physical team. They play very – they're not spectacular. They play very, very, very solid football. And you got to love that. So that's what impressed me the most. And also, Dallas playing Carolina. I think Dallas could beat them. I think with Romo and Terrence Williams and Bryant and Witten and maybe McFadden, and even though Carolina's very physical, Cam Newton's on the roll, but maybe Dallas gets their pass rush, can get to them a little bit. And, you know, Dallas is a little healthier, and they're desperate, and they're confident now. So, and Carolina due to lose one, that would be the one to me if Carolina lost. That would be the one game they would lose, I think, is Dallas. I think Dallas is going to pull the upset and go on their merry way. I think Washington could be a pain in the neck for Dallas. At Buffalo is going to be a real pain. That could be a game they could lose, especially if it's like 10 degrees outside. The Jets, I don't know what to make of the Jets because Revis got annihilated yesterday, and the Texans are red hot now. So I don't know what kind of game that's going to be. But, you know, you look at the standings, Patriots are the Patriots. I think the Bills game is going to be tough tonight. I think Rex is going to have their guys ready. I think it's going to be a nip-and-tuck game. If the Patriots win, the Bills will be 5-5, and everybody's 5-5 and 6-4. The Texans, Chiefs, Raiders are 4-6. If you're 4-6, you're not out of it. It is about who plays well in December now. And can you get it going in December? The Jets have lost, but they get the Titans on their schedule. They have an easier schedule, so they can get right in a hurry. And if they ever pulled off the upset beating New England at home, they've done that before, they'll be a wild card. But the Jets have to get together because they just look disorganized. And you'll lose. If you lose and miss out on playoffs, you're going to think about the Buffalo game that you threw away. That's the game you throw away, and you're like, why did we lose the Buffalo game? We'd be in the playoffs. See, certain games you look back and like, wow, I wish we could have won that game. And it didn't happen. And that's unfortunate. But if you look in the standings now, the Denver Broncos won. Brock Osweiler was solid. And I like him. He looks like he knows Kubiak's offense. They beat the Bears on the road 17-15. But the problem is I might start Peyton if he's healthy. If not, Brock Osweiler is going to see New England and Belichick's going to run. He's going to throw all types of defenses against him. You know, and that's the problem. I mean, you don't have a good enough running game to keep their New England's pass rushers at bay. You could throw on New England a little bit, but, you know, they're a smart defense. They're not a great defense. They're a smart defense. And they make, like, they'll make at the goal line, you drive on, they make goal line interceptions if they're making their proper reads. They're trying to – see, Belichick builds his whole team on tendencies. If you guys – if your team has a tendency to not cover well, he's going to throw all night. If your team is poor – it's a poor defense as far as stopping the run. He's going to load up and put three tight ends and run the ball. They play tendencies. And you almost have to go against the grain to beat Belichick. I remember the one time the Steelers did beat New England, they didn't go to a normal zone that Dick LeBeau used to do. He just went straight man right before the game. They changed up, and Belichick never adjusted because they weren't ready. You have to cross New England up. The Giants last week, throwing the ball to different receivers you hadn't heard from because you know Belichick was loading up on the loading the ball, Odell Beckham. So you have to play the tendencies when you play against the New England Patriots. So we have the Colts who are in first place and the Texans. Texans can win that division. Texans are rolling right now. Their defense is playing lights out. It's scary how good their defense is playing. Jacksonville's still in it, which is good. I'm happy for the city. Even if they'll make the playoffs, if they're in it in December, that's good for the fan base. Denver and the Chiefs, they're going to play again. Oakland's going the other way. Their defense isn't as good. I don't think they're going to make it. In the NFC East, really, if you're Dallas, your only focus is the New York Giants. They figure out how to catch the Giants. You don't worry about the Eagles. The Eagles look like a mess. They look like they're not playing for their coach, Chip Kelly. I don't understand. I really don't understand what's the problem in Philadelphia. But the one problem I did have is getting rid of J.D. McCoy and getting rid of a lot of the players that were popular and trying to run your system. It's a little different from college that you have that full control. You got to have players. Or you got to have an airtight system like New England. Or you got to have really good players. And he has neither. When they're not buying into a system. I think a system will work in NFL. I don't know if it'll work now with Philly. I think you need a really good quarterback and a good running back, a good smart quarterback. Don't have to be the best. But Cam Newton will be perfect in this system. And even though he's doing great with Carolina, throwing five touchdown passes, of course. But a guy like Cam Newton, you need to get in draft. I wonder if Chip Kelly's going to stay or go to USC or go to Tennessee to play with Mariota. He would be perfect in the system. So that remains to be seen. Now we're going to talk about college football. And there were some interesting games this week. Florida barely beating Florida Atlantic. Teams not prepared to play. That was kind of the theme. Except Alabama, they beat Charleston Southern 56-6. You better be prepared to play with Nick Saban. Ohio State disappointed me. They disappointed me all year long. They really just sat back like fat cats and enjoyed their championship, and they never, ever, ever played to their potential. They got beat by Michigan State, their third-string quarterback who never played, Tyler O'Connor, and Gerald Holmes, who had 65 yards, but he really dominated the fourth quarter. Ezekiel Elliott imploded. You can't go out there blaming. Even if it's the coach's fault and you should have got the ball, you don't go out there and throw your team under the bus. And, you know, hey, I'm going pro anyway. You think I care about Ohio State right now? Basically, that's what it came off. You know, the fan base probably upset at him. And now he's got to try to go out and have a big game against Michigan. And Michigan, I think Michigan can beat him. I think Michigan is going to put the final touches on them. If Michigan, think about it, Michigan would have won out and their punter would have held on to the ball against Michigan State. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to compete for a national championship. But because the punter dropped the ball, they'll be in a bowl. Who knows what bowl that'll be. And I was hoping that Ohio State won just to let that kicker off the hook. So that would have meant that Ohio State-Michigan game would have been for all the marbles, but no. And unfortunately, that kid's going to have to live with that the rest of his life. Hopefully, he can deal with it. And Michigan State, I expect to go on. My top four teams are Clemson at one, Alabama at two, Oklahoma at three, Oklahoma State and Baylor are number four, and Michigan State. Oklahoma, Baylor, and Michigan State are tied for number four. This is all going to sort out because Baylor plays TCU and Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma. So this will be all sorted out. It should be all sorted out by the 29th, but, you know, you still, December 5th, you have the SEC championship. So the Florida, Alabama winner should get in. And that's it. You can't put the Pac-12 team in. I hope a Big 12 team gets in because they got hosed last year. That's why I have these teams ranked higher. Notre Dame has a decent resume, but they're not better than Baylor, Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma. They're a half a notch under those teams. Notre Dame's good, but not as good as those teams. But because of their resume, they can get in somehow. And that's what's interesting about that. Then there was another, Baylor destroying Oklahoma State. I thought for sure Oklahoma State was going to go undefeated. They're going against a third-string quarterback, but it didn't work that way. Shaq Lemon had 91 yards. Kady Cannon had 5 catches from the backup quarterbacks and 210 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was a fantastic job by the Baylor coaching staff and Art Briles. Kudos to Art Briles for doing a fantastic job with that Baylor team. They played some D a little bit. Even though Oklahoma State had 35 points, they played enough defense to hold them off because they were way up in the game. They were up 45-17, and they got those points in garbage time. But I tell you, Chris Johnson was good, and Jared Stidham got hurt. He played well, 1 touchdown. But Chris Johnson had 2 touchdowns and threw some dimes out there. And Baylor is in it. If Baylor beats TCU, they got to root for Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma. At home, Oklahoma State's at home, they're going to be upset. I think Oklahoma State's going to beat Oklahoma. Because I don't know. Oklahoma won, but I don't know Oklahoma could go on the road and win against Oklahoma State. I saw them against Baylor, but they were a little shaky against TCU, so. We shall see. Now I want to talk about the fight that took place, Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Alvarez. This is my opinion. I felt like Canelo won the fight clearly. Cotto tried. I mean, his strategy was to try to be like Floyd and stay on the outside and pot shot him, but he doesn't have the ability of Floyd. So he did go on his horse a little bit. He did throw his blows and left hooks, but they didn't have the power because he couldn't get inside the pocket and really load up because it was a risk that he would have gotten knocked out. Because he got pulverized by Canelo. Canelo hit him with hooks and uppercuts. He hit him with a left hook a lot. And then a right cross, he would come over the top of Cotto's defense. And he did that all night. And that's why Cotto was all bruised up and then in the fight. Cotto was always active. He only went toe-to-toe with him once and almost got knocked out, backed away. And he had no other choice, but he wasn't a bigger man. It's like if you're a taller guy and you're backing away in boxing, you can use your reach and just reach and establish your jab and then use your right cross to stay out of harm's way and get a decision. But Cotto's not a tall guy, and Canelo was bigger. Cotto's trying to do that, but he really couldn't. And Canelo knew it. Canelo knew Cotto couldn't hurt him. So he walked right through all the punches. And did damage of his own. He went to the body and did some damage on Cotto, because you can see after the fight. And it was clear he won. I read comments where they said, Cotto's robbed, stop it, please. Now Canelo will fight Demady, I guess. But he did say, he did add his caveat, which I didn't like. Well, you know, I want Demady to come down to 155. Move up to 160, man up and fight Triple G. You come in at 175 anyway. Train your heart out. It's close to even fight, even though I think Gennady is a bigger man, and that might end up being the difference, but I've never, ever seen Canelo get hurt. I saw him get buzzed, but not really in danger. And he'll be in danger in this fight, but maybe Gennady. Gennady's never been hurt, and Gennady's 35 years old. So you just don't know what could happen in that. And I'm going to tell you something else. The real top middleweight is Errol Spence, and that's the fighter nobody knows. Errol Spence, to me, I watched his skill. I look at his skill set. He's an up-and-coming fighter. I believe he can beat Gennady and Canelo. I think he has that tremendous skill. He has good power. He's a southpaw. He's extremely intelligent in the ring. And Floyd Mayweather has co-signed on him, and I understand. You know, and Floyd, he doesn't back up dummies. That's something Oscar De La Hoya said this weekend I really just want to give him a lot of love for, is he said, Floyd, I apologize for all the things I said. Let's work together. Let's bury the hatchet. Bob, Don King, if you're still involved, let's bury the hatchet. Bob Arum, I don't have no problem with you anymore. Let's just bury the hatchet and all work together. I've never heard that before. I think Aaron King and Floyd need to take up De La Hoya up on his offer and do a big card like that. That would be interesting. I'm not even remotely close to a fan of Aaron, but he has a lot of good boxers. And then you got Oscar. Golden Boy has a good stable right now. And Floyd's getting in the mix. That would be perfect to have those guys work together on a fight card. That would be – boxing needs that. You need to be together. It's all this – dissension. It's nonsense. It's too good a sport. Now I get to talk about the sport I love, NBA. The Golden State Warriors are undefeated, defeating Denver 118-105. Very, very impressive. And they work together. They're so together as far as a unit, as far as the ball movement, as far as their defensive rotations are superior. Everybody knows where everybody's at. Everybody picks everybody up. Nobody cares about that Steph Curry's a guy as far as scoring. They matched the Philadelphia Warriors start from 1949 and then the 1994 champion Rockets was 15. They're going to get 16. They're going to beat up on my Lakers next game. And I think they're going to go 16-0. Who knows how far they go? They might go to 20-0. They're very focused. They're upset that nobody picked them to win. You got Doc Rivers, who's let me give you the skinny on Doc Rivers. Don't call teams lucky when they win championships, because he said Golden State was lucky. Then a couple years ago when LA beat them, he said they were lucky. I could say you were lucky because LA didn't have Trevor Ariza and Bynum when you did win. But I said credit to Doc Rivers and their championship. He never, ever takes the high road. He goes, DeAndre Jordan gets a verbal agreement with the Mavericks. He sneaks over to, like a thief in the night, to Jordan's house to convince him to come back. You know, and he just always one comment after the next. Mind your own business. Worry about your snake-bit franchise. Worry about your dysfunctional team who's 5-7 or 6-7. I don't know what they are. Who cares? They're a mess right now. I think Chris Paul has another year left. If I'm him, I go directly to the Knicks to go play with Porzingis and end your career correctly. All right, next Saturday I'll be on, and we're going to find out. We're going to get a closer idea about this championship puzzle in college football.